Welcome, everyone. We're happy to have you, especially glad to have visitors with us this morning. You're our honored guests. There's an announcement in the bulletin this morning for our members that Karen and I are starting a home Bible study this Tuesday night at our home for 4 weeks. On Tuesday night, we're going to have a class in our home on being a disciple of Jesus. And if you're able to join us for that, we would love to have you. So it'll start this Tuesday, and it will end on September the 13th, Tuesday, September the 13th. So for the next 4 weeks, we are going to be having that class at our home. And we'd love you to come and be a part of it. This morning, we'd like to speak about finding the strength that we need for every day. You know, it's nice to know that we are really only given one day at a time to live. And the Bible tells us those things that are behind us, put those behind. If God has forgiven us of our sins, we have no reason to be carrying those and anxious and worried about those things and carrying guilt. And Jesus said that we shouldn't be anxious for tomorrow because tomorrow will be anxious for itself. So there's just one day that we need to really focus on, and that's today. And where can we find the extra strength that is required for each day that we live? You know, I'm sure that many of you, that you know what it's like to feel tired living as we do in such a fast-paced life like most of us live today. And when our strength wears down, it affects us in all aspects. It affects us emotionally and spiritually. And we can be sure of one thing, that the devil knows what our weaknesses are, and he's going to try to exploit those any way that he can. God has connected our bodies and our minds and our souls all together in a wonderful way. So when we begin to droop in one area, it has a domino effect on all the rest of us. And it's easy for us to begin to feel down. And wouldn't it be great if we could, when we're having those moments, we could go in and we could get an extra strength pill. And I'm not talking about an extra strength headache reliever or a cold reliever or something like that. I'm talking about an extra strength pill. That would be something that I could use. And, you know, Karen and I are reminded of that every time our grandchildren come over. We had our 10 grandchildren over for a week here recently, and their energy is unbelievable, off the charts. And it doesn't take us long to be wanting to find one of those pills, if it is available, if there's anywhere for it. But when we think about our lives spiritually and the challenges that we are faced with in our world today, we need that extra strength. And where does that strength come from? Where can we find that strength that we need as Christians to live in the world that we live in today with all of the challenges to our faith? You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10, that if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Fact is, if we're honest, we do faint sometimes. We feel like fainting. And from a physical standpoint, It means that we need to be always doing our best to get exercise, rest, good nutrition, staying healthy as we can. But our strength, physical strength, is tied to our attitudes and enhanced by our attitudes. If we can have good attitudes, it will give us more strength. But on the other hand, it's also impaired by our attitudes. If our attitudes aren't that good, our mental and our physical and emotional, spiritual strength also goes down. So our mental attitudes are either strengthened or weakened by the spiritual strength of our faith and the spiritual strength of our heart before God. We're living in difficult times today. And the events that are unfolding daily, weekly, are troubling, disconcerting in many ways. In times like these, we need to be stronger people, not weaker people. We need to be constantly saying, I can do all things through Christ. We need to not be giving up. We need to not be allowing the times we live in to dictate our strength. We need to draw our strength from the Lord. And we need stronger families. We need stronger husbands. We need stronger wives, stronger parents, stronger people, stronger determination to live our lives for God and give Him the best we can give every day that He gives us. So if you're like me, you want stronger faith. You want more stamina to do the work the Lord assigns us each day. And we need the inner resources just to stay afloat and rally other people around us, not to get discouraged, not to get weak. We need to be strong and encourage others to be strong. Because if we faint in the day of adversity, our strength is small. When I see what's going on in the news and see how it's affecting our country and our freedom and our families and our children and our grandchildren, it makes me want to be strong. It makes me want to be tenacious, to hang in there and not get discouraged. I want to be strong against temptation. I want to keep on keeping on to get through today, and then I want the strength for tomorrow to get through tomorrow and keep on pressing on. We want to be tough, not weak and timid, living in these days that we're living in. And so we need that reminder, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know that requires tremendous strength. Enormous strength. And it's a moral obligation. Moral obligation for us to be strong. The Bible tells us, God calls us to be strong in Scripture. He says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And that is a frequent call in the Scripture, where God is calling us as His people to be strong, not weak. In Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6, He says, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, He said, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I would just encourage you to do a simple search in your concordance. It doesn't have to be in all the different versions. In whatever version you pick, and just type in the word strength, you'll be overwhelmed by all the verses on that subject. That doesn't include similar words like strong or power or might. Just use the word strength. And that's what we would expect from an Almighty God, that He talks about strength and tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the mighty power of His might. The Bible is humming with the energy of divine power. Every page is brimming full with it. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The God of the Scriptures, He never grows weak or weary, He says. Nothing will ever weaken His energy or determination to carry out His purposes. He is mighty in power. Nothing is too hard for Him. His authority and power keeps the universe running without the slightest interruption. You remember that He says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, He says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and divine nature." In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, Jesus Christ is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His being, and He sustains all things by the word of His power. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 tells us how we can have access into that power of God. He says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or strength or think, according to the power that works in us." 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. It's another good verse. "God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work." 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12 says, "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed unto Him until that day." In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 6, He said, "There is none like You, O Lord. You are great and Your name is mighty in power." And in Matthew 19 and verse 26, it said, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." So it's not just theory. It is a power that is dynamic, that we can connect with as we live here in our lives. And we can be energized and we can have that, we can tap into that divine power. In fact, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says that His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through His Scriptures. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, He said, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Well, there's easily over 200 verses like that throughout the Bible. In fact, there's enough verses like this that you can fill your daily calendar 365 days a year and have a verse every day to remind us, to remind you of the power of God that He provides for us to live for Him. You can look at that verse when you rise up in the morning, when you lie down at night, and you can be reminded God is going to give us enough strength. He's going to give us that extra strength we need to get through this day. And when I go to bed at night, I can know He's going to give me strength to get through tomorrow just as well. There's plenty to go around. And we don't need to be running around like 40-watt light bulbs. When we can tap into the nuclear reactor of the living God. And whenever you're feeling weakened by the stress of your daily grind of your life, you need that strength. I need that strength. We all do. You know, our world today is enamored with strength. In the scripture that was read this morning, we are reminded that Ephesians chapter 1, he said that you may know the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, when he raised Christ Jesus from the dead and set him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead works in you. And it works in each one of us that put our faith in him and believe those promises of God's power. The world we live in today, people are enamored by strength. And they're constantly going to the gym. They are working on the upper body strength, the lower body strength. People are concerned about financial strength, about military strength, all sorts of strength. We're very concerned about that. And who would want to have weak headlights in your car? Who wants to have a weak flashlight? You know, go to the store. Do you have a weak flashlight? We want things that are strong. We don't want a weak stock market. We want a strong stock market. So whenever we're feeling weak, we look for extra strength medications, pain relievers. But I'm convinced that the secret to extra strength is not medication, but meditation. We're not going to find it in extra strength pills, but in strength doses, passages from the Word of God. That's where we're going to find that extra strength, because there's plenty of it there if we'll just look for it. Psalm 84 and verse 7 says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. They go from strength to strength until each one appears before God in Zion." That's kind of a neat thought, that when you have your strength in God, you go from strength to strength. It doesn't have to be that we go, you know, crawling along day to day and we can't make it. We're just out of energy. We can hardly keep going. If we have our strength in the Lord, we can go from strength to strength until we appear before God in Zion. That's confidence. That's how we all need to be thinking about what it means to be a child of God. You know, Grover Cleveland is an interesting one of our presidents. A lot of people don't know hardly anything about him. He lived back about the turn of the 20th century, about late 1890s, early 2000, early like 1800s, early 1900s, around at that time. But one thing interesting about him is he is the only president that served two different times as president. Two non-consecutive terms. He was the 22nd president, and then another president got elected, and then he ran again, and he was the 24th president. He's the only one who has ever done that. He is also the president who dedicated the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor. And he was the only president to ever get married in the White House. And he was 49 years old at the time that he got married in the White House. And his bride, Frances Folsom, was 21 years old. The youngest first lady in history. And their romance took the nation by storm. Grover Cleveland was a preacher's kid, a Presbyterian, and he was well versed in Scripture. During his time in office, he faced several crises, huge crises, financially, a national financial panic. And he also faced a personal crisis during that time. He was diagnosed with cancer, and they didn't want to let anyone know that he had cancer, and so he went on board a friend's yacht and underwent a top secret surgery to remove the cancer. And that was kept hidden from the nation for many years until later it was revealed that he had done that. Nevertheless, Grover Cleveland kept up his strength and was a tireless worker. It was said that he worked usually past midnight every day. And he has been praised by historians for his integrity, his courage, his hard work, and his common sense. One of the things that Grover Cleveland said was, he said, "The citizens support the government, but the government is not supposed to support the citizens." That was some of the common sense that he said in many other quotes like that that you can find of some of the wisdom that he had. But the secret of his strength really was a framed scripture that he had in his bedroom in the White House. And he had it there by his bed that every night when he went to bed, he saw that. And every morning, the first thing that he woke up, he saw that scripture. And it was this scripture, Deuteronomy 33, verse 25. "As your days, so shall your strength be." That was the verse that meant more than anything else in the Bible. That was his favorite memory verse. Put it that way. "As your days, so shall your strength be." Someone asked him about that, and he said, "What it means to me is that I wake up every morning with the firm belief that God is going to give me the sufficient strength that I need for that day's tasks as long as I live." And that is a promise that can sustain each one of us, I believe. That is a wonderful verse. It is a lifelong promise of lifelong strength provided by God. The Living Bible translates it, says, "May your strength match the length of your days." Or the New International Version, it says, "Your strength will equal your days." Now that verse is in a section of the book of Deuteronomy where it comes right at the end of the children of Israel crossing through the wilderness and Moses' last words before he died. And it is speaking to the tribe of Asher, one of the sons of Jacob, or Israel, one of the 12 sons of Israel, Asher. And he was the eighth son of Jacob or Israel. Very little really is known about him, but there are four passages in the Bible that speak about Asher and the tribe of Asher. There's an interesting message that helps us to appreciate maybe more that statement in Deuteronomy chapter 33. The first one is when he was born. In Genesis chapter 30, and verses 12 and 13. It said, Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, I am happy, for the daughters will call me blessed. So she called his name Asher. Now, it says he was the second son of Zilpah. What it's saying is that these were his handmaids, and he was the second son. But actually, he was the eighth son of Jacob. But when he was born, they named him Happy. The name Asher means happy. And it made his mother happy when he was born. So he became known, the tribe of Asher became known as the happy tribe of Israel. And later on in the book of Genesis, when Jacob was on his deathbed, in Genesis chapter 49, he called all of his sons together. And he went around and he gave each one of them a blessing. And when he came to Asher, he said, bread from Asher shall be rich, and he shall yield royal dainties. So what that meant was the tribe of Asher is going to be providing food to the nation. And the king's dainties will be provided through the tribe of Asher. So that was a prophecy of the future of the tribe. And then when we come here to Deuteronomy chapter 33, the context of that is where Moses is getting ready to die at the end of the 40 years in the wilderness. And he calls all the tribes together and he gives a blessing to each one, just like Jacob did before he died. And when he comes to Asher, he has quite a bit to say to the tribe of Asher. It gives in the Old Testament the number of people that were in the tribe of Asher at this time. I think it was about 70,000 men who were able to go to war. And they came back a little later in the book of Numbers, and they took the census again, and it was 75,000 or something. It had grown, in other words. But when Moses came to the end of his life, in Deuteronomy chapter 3, he said this. He said, Asher is most blessed of sons. Let him be favored by his brothers, and let him dip his foot in oil. Your sandals shall be iron and bronze. As your days, so shall your strength be. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to help you, and in his excellency on the clouds, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. So it was a great promise to the tribe of Asher. And what it was really saying there is that they are going to be fruitful in olive oil. Now there has been some who have, like Hal Lindsey, interpreting the Bible to all fit into the 20th century context. And he suggested that this is predicting that they're going to find petroleum deposits in that area of Israel. I don't think it's talking about that. It's talking about olive oil. That they would be a rich, fertile area that would produce the olive oil and grow the bread for the people of Israel. And Joshua chapter 19, when the tribal allotments were given under Joshua, they were assigned the area along the Mediterranean Sea. Over in the north of and the east side, the west side of the Sea of Galilee. So it's up in the northwest as far as where the tribes. And it was a fertile area, just like Moses was saying, and true to the prophecies, they grew the bread and the olive trees, and that became the breadbasket of Israel. And just like I said, they provided dainties for the kings. The last time that it is mentioned is in Luke chapter 2 and verse 36. It says, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and she had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So the last time that you find anything about the tribe of Asher is where this old widow, who is a prophetess, comes in and she gives praise to God that the Messiah has been born, holding the little baby in her arms. So it's kind of interesting to me that you have three times old people just before they died giving prophecies about what's going to happen and culminating with her saying, here is the Messiah has come. All about the tribe of Asher. And it was the tribe of Asher that he said, as your days, so will your strength be. So there's some simple lessons that we can draw from that. One of them is that we too belong to a happy tribe. The tribe of Asher was a happy tribe, and we belong to Christ. We belong to Jesus Christ. We are part of a happy tribe. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. That we should be people of joy. Going out to the world, bringing joy to other people and happiness to them. That is what the tribe of Asher stood for. They were the happy tribe. They made other people happy. It was said of Asher that he was a man that brought people together. That he reconciled people. That he was a peacemaker. Jesus said we are to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. So we are part of a happy tribe. And we should take joy in that. Second, we belong to Christ and He is our protection. Just like God said He would be the protection of the tribe of Asher. And they would be blessed and they would be prosperous. Jesus Christ will take care of us. He promises that He is in heaven at the right hand of God and that He is able to be our mediator and He is able to intercede for us with God. Just like Anna, we have a baby to introduce to the world. This is the Son of God. This is the Christ. And we can be happy about that and tell people about this baby that has been born. Give praise to God for it. Also, the Lord promises us strength equal to our days, just like He does for the tribe of Asher. He tells us that we can have that strength. Tells us that we are His people. In the book of John, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And Jesus, when He was praying to the Father in John chapter 17 for his disciples and His followers, He said this, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they may be sanctified by the truth. So the Lord promises to give us strength to match our days. And also is the promise, the wonderful statement that underneath are the everlasting arms. I think about that is like if someone was jumping down in a parachute, that underneath are the everlasting arms. God is there to protect us, to watch over us. And So he gives us so many assurances throughout the Bible that we can be strong, that he's there, that he will provide that extra strength that we need. That as your days, so will your strength be. He gives us strength for every day. And that's enough. If we can live our lives that way, I need the strength to make it through today. And when I get up tomorrow, I know God is going to give me the strength that I need to face that day. And I can keep on going that way until I stand before God in Zion and see His throne. If you're here today and you're subject to His invitation to come to Jesus this morning and repent of your sins and be baptized and confess that He is the Son of God, we're going to stand and sing the invitation song, and we hope that you'll respond to it this morning as we stand together and sing.
Let me not dismay, whatever you find.
God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or always. He will take care of you. God will take care of you through days of toil and hard travail. God will take care of you when dangerous fears your path assail. God will take care of you. Take care.